A lot of marriages went west, you know. They split up in my generation because ladies didn't know that guys were different. I mean, different. It was very tough for chicks to realize that although we speak the same language, you're different. I mean, you could have babies, you know, it's so different. It's like ladies are one emotion. And guys detach. I mean, we don't consciously detach, you know, but we just do detach. You know what I'm saying? It's like a lady can't go through a plate glass window and go to bed with you 5 seconds later. Maybe you.
It's a little bit of the show called I'm Not a Comedian, I'm Lenny Bruce. That is playing now at the Royal George Cabaret Theater and has just announced an extension for the show. This is the critically acclaimed show. Everyone has been raving about the show that has been written and stars Ronnie Marmo as Lenny Bruce. And Ronnie, nice enough to get up early to join us in studio this morning.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. What performer doesn't like getting up early on a Sunday morning?
Sunday, especially when you did two the day before. I had two shows yesterday and one in a few hours, so it's perfect.
Yeah, it's perfect. It'll kind of get you warmed up a little bit.
Absolutely.
Keep your momentum going. How are you doing? I mean, the last time I saw you was, right before the show opened.
Yeah, it was the week we were opening I saw you, and Joe Montaigne was in town.
Joe was in town, who directs the show.
Yeah.
And we talked about it, and I remember you actually being a little nervous, you know, are people going to embrace Lenny Bruce? Are people going to understand the whole thing? And people are understanding and loving it like crazy. Everybody is raving about this show.
Thank you, Dean. Yeah, I was nervous. I'm no longer nervous. Although there are a few people every night who, you know, want to save the world, and the PC police do have an opinion on my show. But it's never the people that I actually should be offending. It's the 22-year-old millennials who want to change
really?
The world. Yeah, yeah.
Really?
It's funny. I do the infamous N-word bit.
Yeah.
And other bits. I offend everyone.
Do they not know who Lenny Bruce is?
Well, that's my thing, you know.
Like, that's the kind of the point of the show, that he was the first one to push the envelope and talk about things on stage in stand-up comedy, and, you know, open the door for people like George Carlin and Richard Pryor and go down the list.
Everyone else was just kind of chicken, and he said what everyone was thinking, you know. And so, yeah, this couple last week, a middle-aged white couple, I started the bit, and they decided that they were angry, and they got up, and they huffed and puffed, and they left. And usually, I didn't see him because the way the light was hitting me, but people told me after, they said, did you hear that ruckus? I said, yeah. They said, two people walked out. I said, oh, I wish I would have seen them, because I would have stopped them in character, said, please sit down and listen. There's the problem. You're not listening.
Yeah.
Listen to how beautiful the bit was, and how anti-racist it was, and how Lenny was sticking up for everybody. So it's an interesting journey, but I...
That's interesting, you know. And I guess it's great for the show in a way that it is probably much the kind of reaction that Lenny got himself when he was doing shows like this for real back in the day when nobody was doing shows like this. And I imagine people were walking out of the shows thinking they were coming to see, Jackie Mason or somebody.
Exactly. Well, no, you're right. And, you know, it's interesting because I certainly don't want to offend anyone, but the whole point of this show is telling the truth and trying to get back, you know, hypocrisy and dealing with that and holding a mirror up to society. And that's why I think so many people love this show, is because they're coming in there. We, you know, the PC police are going crazy right now in this country. And I think this show kind of brings things back to the middle and neutralizes things. And so many people thank me. And I got to tell you, the amount of young people is kind of blowing my mind, because in L.A. and New York, you know, if you were 70 and Jewish, those were my audience, you know.
Yeah.
And now it's crazy. I mean, we had 16-year-olds in the audience last night, their parents bringing them. The city, Chicago, is incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that's why so many people like to start their shows here in Chicago, because they are very welcoming audiences.
Well, it was interesting.
They're willing to sit and listen to something that's a little bit different.
Yeah. Well, that's true. In L.A., it's not really a theater town, although we did great there, 120 performances, and I'm very proud of the work we do in L.A. and Theater 68, my company in L.A. And then we did it in New York for 100 performances off Broadway. And that's an interesting audience because, you know, the New Yorkers are obviously savvy in theater, but they kind of have their arms folded looking at you like, what do you got, buddy?
What do you got?
And then I come to Chicago, and it's exactly what you said. I'm not just saying that because I'm on your show right now. Everyone's so warm, and they're just theater people, and they appreciate for exactly what's in front of them as opposed to what they'd like it to be. They're looking at the piece of art in front of them. I'm loving this city. It's incredible.
Yeah. Start from the beginning with this. Who was Lenny Bruce?
Lenny Bruce was a comic. Well, he was much more than that. A satirist, a truth teller. You know, but he was a guy in the 50s and 60s. I started out doing jokes, just doing jokes like everyone else. And then he started to play these really dive clubs. And he was starting to make the band laugh with stories. He was just telling stories to the band about his family, his wife. And people were like, oh my God, what, you're talking about your family? I can't believe it. Like, nobody was doing that. And he was making the band laugh. And then he just turned around and started to tell these stories. I mean, he was the first guy who would take a trip to the store and make a 10-minute story out of it, what happened, you know what I mean? And then he went on to fight, you know, First Amendment and free speech all the way to the Supreme Court. He actually got convicted here in Chicago, and it was overturned by the Illinois Supreme Court, I think in 62, I think. But so that was great, but New York did not overturn it, and he was convicted and sentenced to prison time for words in this country in 1964.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that Lenny Bruce was able to achieve the kind of notoriety that he probably should have, like Carlin did, or Richard Pryor, or other comedians that took their cues really from him. I don't want to say they copied him, but it gave them, as you said, the courage to speak their minds.
Well, yeah.
And became superstars. Lenny Bruce just seemed like he was never able to get out from underneath the stigma of being the first guy to do it.
Yeah, there's always that first guy, and then the next guy kind of gets all, you know.
Yeah.
And George Carlin, he directly handed him the baton, basically, and said, here, you run with it, essentially. And I often wonder what Carlin's career would have looked like had Lenny lived, because he basically literally took over for Lenny Bruce, George Carlin. And then there was Pryor and all the great guys, all the way down to, you know, Dave Chappelle today. They're comparing Chappelle to Lenny in a lot of ways. Right. I read these articles, and they're like, Chappelle's doing the material Lenny would have gotten arrested for in the 60s.
Yeah. So it's so interesting, yeah, though, that, I mean, today's comedians, even far less controversial than Dave Chappelle, are getting slammed by the press and social media for being not PC enough.
Everyone's a critic now. Which is why I think social media, it was a great idea, but I think it's ruining the world, personally. I mean, I you know, we need it for our purposes to promote things and do things, but I think everyone thinks they're, you know, they're entitled. They are, I guess.
Yeah. Everyone is entitled to have their opinion, but it drives you crazy.
Yeah, not everyone's a journalist, you know.
Not everyone is a journalist.
Not everyone's qualified to give the opinion. So.
And I do enjoy seeing pictures of what people ate for every single meal.
Yeah, no, that's important.
Posted on the web. That's very important for all of us. That's the real purpose of social media.
It's really funny, but it's true. It's become a whole thing, and it's like, and it's sad because it's actually, I don't want to get too deep, but it's like this false sense. My daughter's 12 and I'm trying to teach her that. I'm like, honey, put the phone down. That's not actually what's going on.
Right.
You know, there's this false idea of what your life looks like, you know, and it's scary. And Lenny would have had a field day with this social media. I mean, I don't know what he would have done, but here we are, you know.
Can you imagine? I was talking to probably, I don't know if they were teenagers or in their 20s, telling me that they only get their news on social media, that's the only place where it can be trusted. And I said, that's exactly amazing. Opposite.
Amazing.
Anybody can put anything on social media. There is no, that nobody's checking to make sure what's true on social media.
Exactly.
That's where all the, it's true, all the young people are getting their news from there. And it kind of scares me from what where that may lead us.
Well, it scares me too. We're missing this like innocent simplicity in this country. It's like everything just has gotten out of control, and it makes me nervous. And that's why I'm this show went from me like writing a play, wanting to do Lenny Bruce, to this responsibility I feel like I have now of like standing up for all those who still want to get back to not such a PC culture.
And yeah, just, you are sort of the cult leader of this whole thing.
I'm the cult leader. It's really interesting how I've become the authority on the non-PC culture. And that's why I want to go do colleges and stuff. But, you know, you have these comics who are getting booed off stage in colleges. Kind of mind-blowing to think, like, even like a Seinfeld. I think I heard him say, I'm not doing colleges. Like, Jerry Seinfeld, one of the cleanest comics.
Right, right.
Nobody wants to deal with
it. How did you, I mean, you obviously were always a Lenny Bruce fan. Is that how you got the idea to develop the show, to write it? And did you approach Joe Mantegna to put all this together?
Well, what happened was is I heard of Lenny, but like everyone else, because he passed before my time, before I was born. But I loved Carlin and those guys. And Pryor, I love, and all those guys. And so about 12 years ago, a great comic named Charlie Brill came to me. And Charlie Brill and Mitzi McCall. And Charlie said, there was this one-man show written about Lenny Bruce, and you remind me of Lenny. You want to do it? I'll direct it. I'm too old. I don't want to learn the lines. And it was called Lenny's Back, and boy, is he pissed. And it was written by Sam Bobrick, who just passed away a few months ago. And so I said, over 2 years, I finally said yes. I was nervous. So I did the play. And what I realized in that show was it was great, and I fell in love with Lenny, but we weren't doing his material. We weren't doing any of the bits. We were like skating around the important stuff. And so I said to Sam, I'd like to get the rights to the material. I want to do the bits. I want to do the addiction. I want to tell all of it. I want to do the infamous scary bits. And so he said, no, my play's written. So I set off to write my own. And Joe's been a mentor to me for 15, 16 years at this point. And so I came to Joe every year and I said, Joe, I'm working on this play. He says, okay, read it for me. And I read. He goes, go back to work. And so I'd write. And then finally, about 3 years ago now, I said, Joe, I really want to do the play right now. Can we do it? And he said, well, if you could wait for my hiatus on Criminal Minds, we'll do it. And so that's what happened. And Joe has been the biggest cheerleader of this play. Well, you know, he's one of the great men.
Pretty great guy, yeah.
He's one of the great men in this world. And he loves Chicago authentically. This is his place, you know. So that's what happened. And Joe was the perfect gentle hand to steer the ship, because this is a very, I can't wait for you to see it. It's a very emotional play. It's very funny. It's very heartbreaking. And I needed Joe's poise and, you know, smoothness to make this all work.
Yeah, I can't think of a show that's been in town that universally everybody is, you know, telling me, oh my gosh, have you seen this show? Have you gone? It's like, you know, I've been out of town. There's a million other things that seem to have happened since you've opened that have prevented me from going. But everybody, including Bonnie Hunt, Chicago's own, she's a tough crowd.
She loved it.
Bonnie Hunt is a tough crowd, and she came to your show and loved it.
Yeah, and she wrote me a little note and sent me a quote and said, listen, if you need this, please. And and she said, we need Lenny to, you know, to try to bring us back to the middle now. John Cusack, they all loved it. You know, all the Chicago people, which I'm very grateful for. And I really hope I never get good at it. You know what I mean? I don't want to start to think I'm good at this. It's better I just keep rolling.
You know? Are you aware when people like that are in the audience? Does that affect you?
Yeah, I put them in the front row because you know why? I'm a maniac. And I want everybody who's anybody to sit in the front row. I had Tony Bennett in the front row, Patti LuPone, Billy Crystal. That's what I do because I've got like maybe
doesn't a death. Intimidate you to have these legends in front of you?
The opposite. I go, finally, I get a shot to show these people that I belong with them. You know, it's this weird thing that happens to me. When the New York Times or Chicago Tribune shows up, I say, please put them in the front. Please, I want to know they're here. Most actors go, I don't want to know anybody's here. I'm a maniac. I don't know what the problem is, dude.
You are a maniac.
I got a little screw loose,
I think. You do have a little bit of a screw. Maybe that's what makes the show so great.
I think so, because you know what? I feel like it's like, look, here's what I have. Here's what I have to offer. I'd like to present it to you. If I'm going to hide, I might as well not do it, you know?
Well, that makes sense. Ronnie Marmo is here. I'm not a comedian. I'm Lenny Bruce. Tomorrow morning on the WGN-TV Morning News, I'll be recapping the Golden Globes, which are tonight. The presentation will start at 7 o'clock. Some of you like watching award shows. Some don't. I'll watch it. I'll give you all the winners and losers and all the funny moments. I'm guessing there will be lots of funny moments since Ricky Gervais is back as the host. Talk about somebody you know, who doesn't back away from controversy as a comedian. Ricky Gervais would be best friends with Lenny Bruce, wouldn't he?
He's great. Yeah, I love that guy. You're absolutely right. There are a few guys left like that. Most people are hiding, but he's not one of them. He's fantastic.
He's completely unafraid of doing material that you know, make people squirm a little bit. But I guess that's good. I guess that's kind of partially the job of a comedian, to make you think a little bit, maybe to make you feel a little bit uncomfortable.
Yeah, you hit it on the head. It's to make you think. Lenny, you know, he hated hypocrisy, and he held a mirror up to society, and he just wanted people to take a look at all of it. Like, his big thing with religion was like, how can, you know, he was Jewish, and he said, well, how can my Jewish faith be any more legitimate than paganism? Like, well, why? You know, so he was just this, he was that guy, and, you know, they hated him for that because he was he didn't stay in the box. Yeah. You know?
Well, you talked about when he got arrested here in Chicago at the old Gate of Horn Club, which is right down on Rush Street. It's where Gibson's is now. 1961, And what was the reason that he was arrested?
He got arrested for doing a bit about Catholicism, and it basically he offended a few Catholic cops in the audience, and they were like, okay, let's arrest this guy. We're offended. He didn't curse. He didn't sit, you know, he was just like asking questions. That's the thing about Lenny. People thought he was making fun of religion. He was just legit. He was the kid in Catholic school raising his hand going, but why?
Yeah.
You know,
when you go back and listen to some of these things, really, it's not different at all than the way people talk amongst themselves with religion. You know,
that's right.
I know, you know, faithful practicing Catholics who joke and make fun of, you know, things. It doesn't mean that they love Catholicism less or that they love God less or any reason. They just, they have thoughts and they express them to their friends. And Lenny did it in front of an audience.
What made Lenny brilliant, really, and one of the first, the trailblazer, was that whatever he was speaking about offstage, he just walked on stage and continued speaking about it. You know what I mean? And nobody else was doing that. They were doing their set or their jokes.
Right.
But Lenny,
my mother-in-law. Yes,
yeah, listen to what happened on the way to get a pack of cigarettes.
Yeah.
And like, what? What? You know, listen to what my wife did last night. You can talk about your wife? You know, and so that was the thing. Lenny just continued his conversation on stage and they didn't know what to do with it.
Right. So you were going to do the Gate of Horn
Christ and Moses.
This is what got Lenny Bruce arrested in 1961.
So Christ and Moses fly to New York, transcontinental, $88 from Chicago. It's a Sunday. Christ says to Moses, well, what's playing at St. Pat's? Oh, a good double bill, Cardinal Spellman and Bishop Sheen. So Christ and Moses, they stand at the back of St. Pat's and they listen, they look around. And Cardinal Spellman would be relating love and giving and forgiveness to the people. But then Christ would be confused because their route took them through Spanish Harlem. And he would wonder what 40 Puerto Ricans were doing living in one room. And the Cardinal has a ring on that's worth $8,000. He would wonder at the grandeur. I mean, why don't the Puerto Rican people just live here? It's clean. It's nice. You know, what does it all mean? So they're just shucking back and forth and talking. And maybe the Cardinal sees them back there. And he runs up to Spellman on the altar. Psst, I want to talk to you. Go back to the holy water. Leave me alone. No, I got to talk to you. All right, put the choir on for 10 minutes. What is it? You're never going to guess who's here. Who's here? You're not going to believe me. You're going to think I've been drinking. All right, who's here? Christ and Moses. Are you putting me on now? No, I'm telling you. Are you sure it's them? Well, I've only seen them in pictures, but I'm pretty sure, yeah. No, it's definitely Moses, and he brought a very attractive Jewish boy with him. Did Christ bring the family? What was his mother's name again? It's so weird. I read the book today and everything. I'm so nervous. Mary. Mary what? Mary Hale. No, Hail Mary. No, Mary. A Hail Mary full of Grace Thompson. All right, it could go on and on, but
that's
anyway.
Great. That's great, and also at the same time, unbelievable that he was taken away by the cops for that.
It's crazy that he would get in trouble for that kind of material. They just, you know what it was?
Violating community standards?
Yeah, he just was like that. Yeah, they were worried about him because he was smart and he thought out of the box and he wasn't afraid to share it, you know. I spoke to Marty Garbus, who's Lenny's attorney, and he saw the show in New York, and he's a very famous lawyer. And he was in the front row, he's covering his head, and after the show, I go, Marty hated the show, he thought it sucked. I said, Marty, why'd you cover your head? He goes, because there were ghosts all over the room. I saw Lenny, my friend, thank you, he was crying.
Wow.
So I said, thank you, Marty. I said, what happened? Why did Lenny get busted? And he said, you know what the truth is? He goes, it wasn't about the words. He came on stage one night, and he did this bit. Time Magazine had said, they had a picture of Jackie Kennedy at the Kennedy assassination. And it was a picture of her, the famous picture of her, trying to get out of the car.
Right.
And what Time Magazine said was she was running to get help. But what Lenny said is, no, that's not what happened. She was scared and she was trying to get the heck out of there. And so, and he made a whole big thing about, don't make my daughter think that if she's scared and she runs, she's a bad girl, right? Mm-hmm. Don't tell my daughter that. And so he went off. It's a beautiful bit. I do it in the show. It's really overwhelming. And then they said when they heard him talk about Jackie Kennedy, they were like, go lock that guy up. Mm-hmm. That's it now. You know what I mean?
Like, now you've gone too far.
Yeah, it was unofficial. It was off the record. But as his lawyer, he said, that's what brought Lenny down. Yeah. They were like, don't talk about Jackie. But he could have been right, you know. Yeah.
Is this a show for everyone?
I would say my daughter's 12 and she saw it last week.
Yeah.
So, and I think she's a really hip, groovy kid, and the things they're talking about in the schoolyard are way, way bigger than this. So I'm going to say over, if you have a cool 12-year-old, maybe.
Yeah.
But beyond that, yes, there's so many lessons and so many things to talk about. So the answer is yes, if you got a cool kid, and minimally 14, 15 years old, I'd say absolutely.
Yeah, and for, you know, I don't think anyone took offense at the, you know, the routine that you just did. But, you know, it is Sunday morning. People are either coming from or going to church right now. Might be an interesting thing for them to hear on the radio.
Yes. As they're
coming out of church this morning or headed in. I mean, people who, you know, might find that kind of material. Is there a lot of material like that?
Oh, I offend everyone.
You offend everyone.
Everyone, equal opportunity. But there's always a beautiful message. That's the thing. Lenny Bruce has this bad rap of like, oh, the guy came out and just cursed and did this. No, not at all. And if you sit and you come and you listen to the entire, every bit, and you listen to the whole bit, you go, oh, that's what he was saying.
Yeah.
He was very smart. And I would say to the Catholics, as a fellow Catholic for life, whether I like it or not, that's just the way it is. Please come see this show, because it will the hypocrisy will frustrate you. It frustrates me.
I think it, you know, if you, I think it's the job of theater to make you think a little bit and
yes,
to make you feel, maybe to make you sad sometimes, maybe make you to feel joyous sometimes. And sometimes I love when I go see a show and it stays with me for a few days and I can't stop thinking about what it was that I just saw on the stage. That's what it sounds like your show does.
Somebody came last night for the fourth time. People have seen this show 12 times in Chicago. 12 times. We're in our second extension. It's that show, because every night it's different. Depends where I am, where they are, the audience. And literally, people come over and over. It's become this cult thing where people just keep showing up over. It's my 8th time, my 10th time.
Yeah.
And it's that show. And, you know, Lenny Bruce said in the 50s or the 60s, he said, many people are leaving the church and finding God, which I know could be offensive to some people, but that was one of his famous quotes. Like, everyday people are leaving the church and finding God.
Very interesting. Yeah. What's the future of your show?
Well, you know, I live in Los Angeles, so I'm commuting at this point because I miss my daughters terribly. So the future is I'm going to stay here as long as people want me to. I'm available till about April.
Yeah, right. Well, right now, a show extended through February 16th, by the way, at the Royal George Cabaret.
Yep, we're in our second extension. And then they're setting up a national tour now, which I think might happen around the fall. So we're discussing some potential sit-down productions in San Francisco and Boston and Seattle.
That's great.
But we'll see. You know, I'm right here right now, and I'm really loving this city, and I'm willing to stay if people want to keep seeing it.
Yeah, one day at a time with this. Sure is going great. I'm not a comedian. I'm Lenny Bruce. It's at the Royal George Cabaret Theater, and you can get tickets by calling the box office, or you can go to LennyBruceOnStage.com. 312-988-9000 is the number. And I should mention, too, that a portion of the proceeds for the show go to the Lenny Bruce Memorial Foundation, which is fantastic that you're giving back and helping other people who suffered from the same kind of afflictions that Lenny Bruce did.
Yeah, please. That's wonderful you mentioned it. Lenny Bruce Memorial Foundation is what we do is we put people through rehab for drugs and alcohol who don't have insurance. And when you buy a ticket, a portion goes to that. Also, we sell T-shirts. You could go to LennyBruce.org. 100% of the proceeds go right to this foundation. I'm on the board, and I'm very proud of that. And we've already had a few wonderful success stories of young heroin addicts who are now 2 years clean because of the foundation. We were able to help them get help. And so if you're looking for a cool, groovy T-shirt, maybe go buy one, and you know you're helping somebody.
There you go. It's Ronnie Marmo. Thank you for coming in. It's great to see you again.
Thanks, Dean.
I'll see you front row at the theater.
Yeah, man. I want you in the front row center.
Make as much noise as I possibly can to distract you.